welcome back to, I think it's episode 4 of Witch's Cove. So today I wanted to dive into, kind of have a part 2. I want to dive into a little bit of what we talked about the last time. I know I promised we were going to go into tarot, but I actually had somebody message me and ask me a couple questions in regards to the last podcast, so I wanted to dive in a little bit more to that. So the last podcast had to do with if you have a fear of your gift, meaning if you are intuitive or clairvoyant, if you see ghosts, stuff like that, and if you have a fear of it. So we touched base on that. If you didn't listen to it, feel free to go back. And now this one, we are going to talk to you guys about how to know what gifts you have and how to tune into them. And we have a special guest with us today who's going to help us out with this. Her name is Stephanie, and she is an intuitive Reiki practitioner and a healing green witch who works with people and animals. So welcome, Stephanie.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming on. So I have some questions for you, but first I wanted to really try and answer the question that my previous guest asked. And I'm just wondering, in regards to Reiki, if you have any kind of guidance for her.
Well, I think that working with a Reiki practitioner, if that's an avenue that's available, a Reiki practitioner, especially one who's intuitive, can definitely help balance your energy field, which will actually help you develop your gifts. An intuitive Reiki practitioner will also get messages from your spirit guides, even your higher self, their spirit guides, basically from the other side, that will be able to help guide you on your journey. They might come back with messages about, you know, things that you might want to look for. And because your energy field is going to be more balanced, suddenly you're going to feel a lot more open. You're going to be able to reclaim some of your energy, and whatever your natural gifts are going to start becoming a lot more obvious.
Yeah. I messaged her, I mentioned to her through Messenger about practicing with meditation, mm-hmm. and like even some guided meditations for people who aren't familiar with it. So can you just explain a little bit about how, if you are receiving Reiki, does that, mm-hmm. can that then help you with learning meditation? Because some people struggle with meditation.
Yeah.
They can't seem to focus.
There's an analogy about meditation. It's called trying to tame a million wild horses. Hmm. And when you're starting off a meditation, the guided meditations are usually a lot easier. Probably guided visualization. I like to do a guided visualization to start off my Reiki practice. So when I'm working with a client, I will kind of guide them through a visualization. That starts to get them practicing using their imagination. And something that we don't really get to exercise in our adult lives with all the millions of responsibilities we have is using our imagination. And suddenly when we use our imagination, it starts to become a lot easier to tune out some of this other noise that clutters our mind. So for example, you can guide them through just imagining the light coming down into their top, you know, their crown chakra, seeing that light flowing through their body. Something as simple as that is a really good kind of beginner visualization. Another one I love is guiding that person into down a path, which helps. It's kind of like people who do hypnosis use that one as well, walking down a flight of stairs, walking down a path that's going down the side of a hill, that kind of stuff. If you want to learn meditation and you are working with a Reiki practitioner, maybe they do offer that. Otherwise, you can reach out to someone like myself that can just do short little meditations. For beginners, it's good to start off with 2 minutes. a 2-minute visualization.
Wow.
Yeah, and then just build up from there. 5 minutes, 10 minutes. There are days, I mean, there are days that I can meditate for, and I'm sure you're the exact same way, where you're meditating for 45 minutes, an hour. There are other days where you have the attention span of a fruit fly.
Yeah.
And you can only meditate for 5 minutes. But there are studies that show that even that 5 minutes that you're meditating, even that 2 minutes is just as beneficial.
Yeah, exactly. I'm a shower meditator or a bath meditator. Yeah. That's generally where I do my meditating. I don't know if I would recommend the bath for a 45-minute meditation. That might not be safe, so maybe just stick with the showers.
But you know what? I've done guided meditation in the bathtub, and it feels really nice, especially when you're, like, using the water to draw out old energy.
Yeah, it's amazing, I think. And so for anybody that's listening, I'm going to give you guys Stephanie's contact info at the end if anybody does want to reach out to her, if they have any questions or if they are interested in booking in with her for any kind of Reiki classes and stuff like that. We'll get to that in the end. So, sorry, I kind of jumped the gun there because I really wanted to make sure I answered the question that the lady had asked me. So hopefully we've answered you a little bit there. I'm sure throughout the whole podcast we'll probably give you some more, you know, avenues and stuff and ideas. However, I wanted to specifically talk with you. You took the time to join us today, so thank you so much. And tell us a little bit about you. I know, yes, you're into Reiki and you're a Reiki practitioner and stuff, but tell us a little bit more about you because you're a witch.
Yeah.
I'm a witch.
Yes.
I love witches.
Witches.
And tell us just a little bit about how you found out that you were a witch and a little bit about, you know, a little bit about that.
Probably about 2 years old when I first started talking to my first imaginary friends, and I don't remember them now, but I've actually even since then kind of tried to Google, look up the names that I used to, of the people I used to talk to see if they're still alive from my past life or if there's any obituaries on these people that I could find, but anyway, I haven't been able to find them yet, but Cindy, if you're listening, I'm looking for you. So from there, I was always had this sense like I was being watched as a kid, and I remember being 11 years old and talking to people like, I know you're there. I also had a very sensitive connection with animals, with nature. I developed anxiety when I was young, and it wasn't until I was a lot older that I started to learn that that's not my anxiety, that anxiety belongs to other people. Mm-hmm. That it wasn't until, you know, in my 20s that, or late teens, that I started to learn what empath meant.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that I would do really young was I would sit in the mirror and I talk to my older self.
Hmm.
And I would have conversations with my older self when I had no idea that, you know, further, like 20 years later or less, I'd learn about, you know, the inner child and working with your inner child and your older self as a witch. But the thing is that a lot of these gifts were passed down to me. My dad is clairaudient, my mom is a psychic, but these were things I knew about my mom because my mom and I were really close, and my mom always taught me and my brother and sister to really develop our intuition and rely on it. And but it wasn't until like maybe in my 20s that I started to learn about my dad's gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Men don't normally talk about it that much. No. Like, it's very few and far between that you're going to run into a man who's going to start sharing what their gifts are.
Yeah. Well, now they're probably opening up more so than we were growing up.
Yeah. I hope so. And I guess it was when I was probably maybe 18 that I started to really learn how to control the gifts. I don't know how. It was just like I'd cross paths with strangers who would give me insight, and I'd work with that. Or, you know, friends of mine who are also really coming into their own, and we'd practice things with each other.
Yeah.
And the empath thing started to really you know, I would have these feelings of anxiety or sadness or whatever, and I'd be looking around saying, no, I don't have any reason to feel any of these emotions. So I'd start calling friends or loved ones to find out, hey, what's going on? And find out, oh, yeah, I was just rescuing your brother from the middle of the lake because a storm came up and his canoe got taken out to the middle of the lake. So, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then, but the witchy stuff, again, I didn't really have a name for what it was until I was older, but always working with the elements, mm-hmm. always working with fire, always reading books about paganism and stuff like that, which, again, paganism isn't exactly what I have always practiced, but yeah. I was still very interested in what all this stuff was because I knew that there was more to what was happening in mainstream culture.
Right.
I think I did my first binding spell when I was in grade 7.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I can't remember. I think I did my first binding spell 3 months ago. How bad is that? I mean, were you ever a little bit scared of it? Like in the very beginning? Like I know in
no
the very
fear.
No, it, no, not at all. No. So yeah, I did. I shut it down for a long time because I was so afraid. But I want to ask you a quick question. Sorry, I know you're in the middle of explaining.
No, please.
But I just think this is important to touch base on because I myself am an empath, which mm-hmm. you know. And so in regards to Reiki, so yeah. Two questions. Did you find that in doing Reiki yourself before you decided to become a practitioner that it helped with being an empath? Do you recommend to anyone who is an empath that Reiki could help at all or any
yeah,
kind of
totally.
Recommendations with that?
Absolutely. Any kind of energy work, even if it's not Reiki practitioner, but like if you just want to do something on your own, YouTube Qigong, Tai Chi, any of these modalities that work with energy to balance your energy system. I recommend Kundalini Yoga, but please start a beginner. Because what it does is it just kind of grounds you and it's aligning your energy fields so that you start to become more aware of your own body and there's no holes in your aura, so you're not so like vulnerable to outside energies, and you start to feel the difference between your own energy and, hey, no, this is a foreign energy, this must belong to the guy sitting next to me on the train.
Mm.
And then you can like start to shield yourself a lot more. And also when you're working with Qigong, and but with Reiki as well, Reiki practitioners can teach you how to kind of build these protection fields around yourself.
Okay.
But again, like because it's strengthening your energy field, you really will notice a difference right away, and you will really start to notice. You'll learn your own energy. You'll know your own skin, so you do start to notice when it's someone else's stuff.
Yeah.
And then also you might not realize that you are picking up on spirit. All of a sudden, you're feeling someone else's energy, and no one else is in the room. All of a sudden, you're like, "Wow, I'm a medium too."
Mm-hmm.
So that's another way that it'll help
yeah.
an empath.
Yeah. And so, for those who don't know, sorry, we maybe should have explained that in the beginning. We've been doing this stuff for a while, so in my head, I'm like, "Oh, everybody knows what an empath is," but some people might not know what an empath
that's
is.
True. Yep.
And it's a heightened sensitivity to energy.
Mm-hmm.
You are highly sensitive and you could be picking up on energies from the people around you, like Stephanie said, animals around you, your environment, you know, like as spirits, it may not be people. And this can change how you're feeling. So for me, water works. That's what I mm-hmm. use to cleanse. It seems to help me and ground me whenever I have any kind of it. And I guess an attack, I call
yeah.
it, because it really physically takes a toll on me sometimes. But learning proper meditation and different techniques, like she said, to kind of surround yourself. I use angel wings. That works for me.
Sometimes even different crystals. Like
yeah.
if you have a little baggie full of like certain grounding crystals or protection crystals, you might find that makes a difference too.
Yeah, exactly.
some of the visualization stuff that I do, if there are really strong energies that I'm feeling, I might picture myself in a fire suit. Mm-hmm. That's like my like last resort. Like that's my fire suit is where I go to last. My first defense is putting my breathing. So I'll imagine myself breathing. I'll breathe in, and then as I breathe out, I see, like, I'll breathe in white light, and then as I breathe out, I start to blow this bubble out of my skin. Mm-hmm. So anything that's clinging to my skin is being pushed out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's pushing it out, and every time I breathe in, I'm breathing in only, like, healing, cleansing light. Breathing out, the bubble expands, and you can close your eyes and picture that. This is what I do anyway, and it works for me.
Yeah.
I'm imagining it pushing everyone who's in my personal space, because when you're on the bus or you're on the train or if you're in a crowd, you can't always get away from these people.
No.
So you imagine your bubble pushing them away. And maybe not on our reality plane.
Yeah.
You can't physically push these people away, but you can energetically push them away.
Yes.
Just through these visualizations.
Exactly.
And the farther you push them away, all of a sudden you have so much more oxygen to breathe. You are way more in control over what energies you are letting in. And that might be a technique that could help with someone who's struggling with their empathic abilities.
Exactly. Oh, so that's great. So I just wanted to know, like, for example, given that we're talking about Reiki and stuff, and we know that you're a practitioner, I wanted to know, why would a person come for Reiki? Like, for like, give us some examples of, like, if you think if a person would need Reiki.
I think everyone would benefit from Reiki, but I'm also biased. So the types of things that I have encountered with Reiki is anything from people who are struggling to heal on their own. Like, let's say they have an addiction, for example, and they're really struggling with overcoming that addiction.
Yep.
That will help them. Reiki, you know, it might not work right away, but if that person is willing to take control of their own mindset and work with the Reiki energy can help assist with whatever it is that they're doing on their own. Reiki can also help someone that is struggling with anxiety for the ways that I've already explained.
Yeah.
But it's also known to increase serotonin and dopamine, the way that, like, a massage therapist, like, massage works that way as well.
Yeah.
But it does actually, there is scientific evidence to show that it increases these hormones in your brain, which will immediately make you feel a lot better.
So physically and mentally can help.
Physically
both.
And mentally. The other thing is that it can release old emotions. When I'm doing Reiki on myself, for example, there are times where I will place my hands onto a certain point of my body and start bawling my eyes out, and not even knowing that I was still hanging on to that emotion. It'll just release. And same with other people. Other people might just break down crying on the table. There are other times, because you can do distance healing as well.
Oh, wow.
It can help with one woman I worked on. She was struggling with fertility. Oh. And I was doing distance healing, and she got pregnant. I'm not saying I did that, but yeah. I am saying that the distance healing helped the stuff that she was already doing on her own to work, because you're relaxing your body, you're allowing these energy flows, you're removing the blocks, which just automatically allows treatments to start moving through your body the way that they were meant to.
So that's kind of a little bit of explaining what actually Reiki is.
Yeah, right. And then other things that I've done for people is I've charged blankets. So I work with animals a lot. So I've done a lot of animal adoptions. And I will charge blankets that will go out with the cats or the dogs that are being adopted.
Oh, wow.
And then recharge them. If someone brings them back to me, I can recharge them. I can also charge crystals and elixirs, that kind of thing, essential oils. And what that does is it's infusing that intention into that item, and you can actually feel the difference. One of the workshops I did for learning how to charge items, I was amazed the first time I felt, what does this item feel like that's been charged? Right. And it's incredible. All of a sudden you take it on and you just feel so warm and relaxed.
Wow.
Yeah, I've had one of the adoptions I did working in a room for a couple hours, and someone came into that room and was like, oh my gosh, there's something in this room that just makes me feel so good. And I said, well, I've been doing Reiki for a couple hours in here. She's like, oh my God, that's what it is. Totally.
Nice.
Because she has experience with Reiki, so she could automatically feel it when she walked in.
Wow.
Yeah. And you can notice the difference with animals that have received Reiki before, too, because they'll just press themselves right into your body or right into your hands when you meet them.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah, it's really nice working with animals.
So there you go. Like, for anybody who thinks that, you know, oh, I don't need it. Well, you might not need it, but your pet might.
Yeah, but you'll also just benefit from it because it feels amazing.
Yes.
And who knows, you might get a message from spirit. You might get a message from your higher self, something that you didn't even know that you might have been missing, something that you are wondering about that might just come through in that kind of session. Even a distance session, it can come through.
Well, you're an intuitive Reiki practitioner, right?
Yeah.
So you probably pick up on a lot of messages, I'm guessing, when you do Reiki, which maybe not all Reiki practitioners do.
Not all of them are intuitive.
Yeah.
But there is still a level of sensitivity. So even if they're not going to have a specific message for you, you might have messages come to you.
Right.
You might hear someone's voice. You might have a memory that you completely forgot about, and there's a message in that memory that's come through. One of the Reiki sessions that I received, the practitioner grabbed a hold of my hand, and I could have sworn it was my grandmother's hand was holding me.
Wow.
And it was such a beautiful moment because she was actually intuitive as well, but she did say that she had a message from my grandmother.
Wow.
Which was really incredible. So you just never know. Messages will come through in any way, but also afterwards, because you're a lot more open, you might just see something on the street that pops out to you, and that could be a message for you as well.
So, another question. This just came to me. Sorry. Can I add another question?
Absolutely.
So I'm sure most people generally probably think, because I did.
Yeah.
Is they probably think people would go to Reiki, if you're physically sick.
Mm-hmm.
So my question would be, like, for me, for example, I'm a medium.
Yeah.
I'm clairvoyant. I'm an empath. Will this help heighten my intuition? Will this help things more clearer for somebody who's like just like me, or have these gifts that we've been so much talking about?
Yeah.
Will this help in development?
Absolutely. And the thing is that it may not happen after the first treatment. What might happen after the first treatment is flu-like symptoms, because Reiki will detox your system.
Yeah.
It's going to start opening up areas of your body that were blocked before.
Mm-hmm.
So you might have all kinds of crazy symptoms that you're like, what is going on? I feel like crap. I'm never getting Reiki ever again. And then all of a sudden you start having dreams and you're astral projecting.
Wow.
And you are suddenly able to remember your astral projection experiences because that energy was, that blockage was removed.
Yeah.
Yes, or you had to feel really crappy for a few days, but all of a sudden it will start to, or it might take a few different treatments, but yes, I guarantee you will go to the next level.
Wow. So it's cleansing. It's balancing. It's restoring the balance.
Absolutely.
Sorry, guys, if you hear my dog bark downstairs. Oh, my mind just went blank, and I had a very important question.
We were talking about balancing and cleansing and astral projecting.
Oh, okay. So And I'm bringing this up because I've talked to a few people, unfortunately, people that are going through illnesses. Mm-hmm. And I will recommend Reiki, and their answer often seems to be, well, I went once, but it didn't do anything. You often need to do things more than once for it to work. I would think most people would know this by now.
Yeah.
But you yourself being a Reiki practitioner, what would you suggest? I mean, I'm guessing everybody is different. Mm-hmm. You can't base it solely on like, oh, you know, one person might only need 3 sessions. One may need 300 sessions, I'm guessing, right? It all kind of depends.
It depends.
Yeah. But it's similar to what, like yoga and meditation. You don't just stop after one time.
No. But that doesn't mean that once you start, you have to do it for life.
Yeah.
Like, you might want to go a few times and then do maintenance once a year or however often you feel like it, once every couple years. Like, there's no set rule. Like, just listen to your body. Your higher self will come to you and tell you, because it'll start reminding you, Reiki, Reiki, Reiki.
Like you're at an attunement. Like, you just need to be attuned. It's kind of like when you go to the chiropractor.
That's right.
Like, oh, yep, you fixed my back, but guess what? Every, 6 months, I need to get adjusted again.
Or, like, an oil change. Your body needs an... Or your body needs an oil change.
That's, the perfect way to kind of sum it up, I think, really.
Yeah, you might not need it all the time, because you might not be driving all those kilometers.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, I just took my car in for an oil change today, so...
That's funny. I just have, I think, one more question. Just in regards to explain the different Reikis... the different level of Reiki that people... Just to make people kind of aware, I guess, if that makes sense.
So if you're interested in Reiki and or, like, how do you become a Reiki practitioner... You are going to receive different attunements. And the way that you receive these attunements is level one, you'll receive attunements that will activate your ability to heal. But you are supposed to be working on yourself. So in level one, that attunes you to work on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Once you become a Reiki practitioner, you're going to want to work on yourself often, because you are... all of a sudden so much more attuned, and your gifts are way more heightened after your first attunement. The other thing that happened to me was I had a chronic condition that cleared up after my level one attunement.
Wow.
And so because that condition was cleared out of my system, there was a lot more stuff that was able to come through. Unfortunately, at that time, I was also on anxiety medication, so it was dull. But then when I went off the anxiety medication, it was just, like, crazy heightened.
Wow.
And, probably even more than I was naturally before being Reiki attuned. Level two, you receive attunements that let you work on other people. The other cool thing about the level two is that you are suddenly able to work through different timelines. So you can... heal someone's past, you can heal someone's future. You are suddenly able to open portals and that kind of stuff. So it becomes so much more magical. That's when your astral planing is going to start really taking off a lot. You're going to have so much more psychic dreams. Your visions, if you are already a little bit psychic, your psychic visions are going to hit you like crazy, and they're going to be so vivid. And once you get to your master level, the master level will allow you to teach other people, and then they get all their own Reiki attunements as well, which will, you know, allow you to really work with spirit. It'll help you to cut cords on people, but the best part about the masters is that once you are a Reiki master, you are then kind of given, you are charged with teaching the next generation of Reiki practitioners. So that's really cool too.
Wow. So do you want to become a Reiki master? Is that your goal?
Yeah, I think I'd like to be a Reiki master. I think because I'm already, you know, I've been level two for a long time now.
Yeah.
And I have, you know, for a couple years now, been really focusing on the meditation aspect. And, you know, you get to that point where you always want to see yourself as the student, even when you are the teacher.
Yeah.
It's important to stay humble. And one of the things about Reiki is that they really teach you to honor your teachers, not just your teachers as traditional, I'm your teacher, this is your lesson.
Yeah.
But you're learning from that boss that's a total a-hole. You're learning from, you know, that guy on the street that's begging. You're learning from that stranger that gave you a pen when you needed it. Like, yeah. Everyone's a teacher.
Yes.
Everyone's a teacher.
Yes.
So when you get to that stage where you are humble enough and recognizing that, then yeah, it's time to start teaching others. So yes. You can, because you being a teacher to me comes from a very humble place, and I'm definitely ready to go there and teach other people about all the knowledge that I have been blessed with since starting my Reiki journey.
Yeah. It's so important. Mm-hmm. It's so nice to hear. I think that you will succeed very far. But it's just nice. It's nice. You don't talk to people who have like such a lovely energy. So it's really nice. It's refreshing. It's like a breath of fresh air. So I just have one more quick question. Sorry, I thought that was my last one. I wanted to know if somebody needs to do any kind of preparation before coming in for a Reiki treatment.
If you're going for your first Reiki treatment and you don't know anything and you're not going to prepare, that's totally okay, because your Reiki practitioner is going to give you some maintenance that you, like aftercare that you want to do after a treatment. So for example, if you are feeling flu-y, probably the first thing that they're going to tell you is just drink a lot of water, because it is going to make you feel really crappy for a couple days.
Yes.
So drink a ton of water, eat clean, and just assist the cleansing, the purging process any way you can. It'll feel a lot easier going through that process if you are doing these things. If you, you know, remove sugar for a couple days, try and eat like clean, maybe stay away from heavy meat diet if you are able to. And the next time you go for your Reiki treatment, you might want to do those things a day or two before anyway. That's up to you. I mean, you don't have to, as long as you remember that, you know, these things might help. Maybe not. You might find other things that work for you.
Right.
Just kind of laying low for a couple days. Meditate after you get a treatment, because your mind is going to be a lot more calm, so you're going to be able to meditate. Before I go for Reiki treatment personally, now I will do a meditation before I go in.
Okay.
I'll ground myself just because I want to be open to receiving the energy. I want to be really connected with my guides and my higher self, so that I am able to listen to what I need.
Yes.
For example.
So I feel like it's important, very important for people to not get scared away after one treatment, especially if they become a little ill, like flu-like symptoms and stuff. Don't let that scare you from returning, because
that's good. That's you want that.
You want that, yeah. So don't let that scare you. And I think that's important that we brought that up, because I do think that scares people away.
Absolutely.
And
understandably. But even if you don't have that, then that's not a bad thing either. It just means that maybe it might be a challenging blockage. Like, it might take a few sessions before you feel flu-y.
Yeah.
You might never feel flu-y, and that's great.
Yes.
Whatever. It's very personal. There's no rules to how you should feel. It's just, in case you don't feel anything, don't be scared off either that you think it's not working.
Right.
And if you feel a lot of things, don't be scared off, because you want to go back and start having help to get these things aligned properly.
Yeah, exactly. So I feel like, just to recap before we end the session, because we're already 35 minutes in, I hope we kept your attention.
I hope so.
So I feel like, just recapping, that we have tried to open your mind to creating balance, because mm-hmm. balance is key, and you can create balance through meditation, through Reiki, through yeah. detox and cleansing, stuff like this.
Through any energy work that energy you do on your own, the Qigong and yeah. the Tai Chi and Kundalini yoga.
Yeah.
Even because regular yoga.
No. And nothing will nothing will flow until mm-hmm. you're properly balanced,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Yep.
And so Stephanie has actually graciously said she's going to return to come back for another session, and we're going to dive into chakras. We didn't go crazy into that today because that's a whole other session.
Yeah.
However, it's kind of in tune with Reiki. It all connects.
Oh, for sure.
It's all connected.
Because Reiki is everything. It's your energy.
Yeah.
And your energy field is running through your chakra system.
Yeah.
And that is key. If your chakra system is a mess, then so are you.
Yeah.
And if you want to really develop your gifts, you're going to want to make sure that you're working with your chakra system in order to let that energy flow so that you can start allowing your gifts to develop naturally.
There you go. So that's a little bit of help for today. We are going to do a whole other session just on chakras and, you know, how chakras relate to Reiki and all that kind of stuff. That will be for another day. But I wanted to thank you so much for coming on. And I think
you provided
us with a ton of information. I'm stumbling on my words, sorry.
Means your throat chakra needs a little bit of work. We'll get to
clear
that.
My throat chakra. I'm so thirsty right now too. Thank you so much. And I'm going to put a link to contact Stephanie. She has her own Instagram page. You can contact her that way as well. And I will put a link on my Instagram page so you can connect with her there if you have any questions. You can also message me through my Instagram page, which is Cove, and if you have any questions in regards to this session, and we'd be happy to answer them in our next session. But that's it. Is there anything else that you'd like to add, Steph?
I just am so hopeful for everybody. I'm sending out a beautiful intention to everyone's journey, just connecting with your natural gifts and abilities, to connecting with whatever your witchy talent is. And I just am sending out an intention.